live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, serious concern has been raised over what's been described as an alarming low level of high-speed driver training for Gardaí in Donegal. There was a 12% increase in jobs at firms supported by Enterprise Ireland in Donegal last year. Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher says the Foreign Affairs Minister should stick to what he knows best rather than criticising others for representing their constituents. And there's been a cautious welcome over the Housing Minister's impending visit to Donegal this week. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly. But first news, the INMO's Industrial Relations Officer in the Northwest says nurses and midwives do not want to engage in industrial action but feel they have been left with no other option. The INMO announced yesterday that 37,000 nurses and midwives across the country will take part in a 24-hour work stoppage on January the 30th, with five further stoppages planned for February. This morning there were 46 people awaiting inpatient beds at Letterkenny University Hospital, making it the second most overcrowded hospital in the country for the third consecutive day. Maura Hickey says that's symptomatic of a crisis that nurses can no longer ignore.
There appears to be no will on behalf of the department or the government to address the capacity problem in Letterkenny Hospital, and certainly not to address the unsafe working conditions for the nurses and midwives in Letterkenny and in Sligo in the Northwest, and even out in the community hospitals. And therefore, the nurses have had enough. And no nurse or midwife wants to take this action. They actually want to be able to go to work, deliver their care of a high standard in a safe working environment. But regrettably, the employer finds that it is okay for patients to receive care in unsafe environments. We are asking you to continue to support us because we are the people that have your safety as our prime concern. I mean, you have had this morning at 8 o'clock, seven people in ED. You had 11 people lying on trolleys in corridors. You had 11 patients in the AMAU, the assessment unit, which means it can't function. Then you have 13 escalation beds open up in a ward, and you have two patients in treatment rooms and two trolleys down in day service. Tomorrow, will it be 52?
Enterprise Ireland says Brexit is yet to impact Irish exporters, but it expects 2019 will be a challenging year for Irish companies. Latest figures from the agency have shown 2018 to be a positive year in terms of employment growth. In Donegal, there was a 12% increase in jobs at Enterprise Ireland-supported companies last year, with a total of 3,818 people, up 406 on the previous year. Minister Joe McHugh says while there are challenges with Brexit, this shows things are improving in the region.
I do acknowledge we are coming from a low base in the Northwest, but it is positive. It's positive, especially with the backdrop of Brexit on the horizon. And certainly, I believe that the walk off Enterprise Ireland is constructive, and it is indicative of the positive vein of thought amongst small to medium enterprise in the Northwest, and in particular in Donegal. It's something that will gain traction in the time ahead. There are challenges with Brexit coming up, but people do want to drive ahead, and certainly the message I'm getting from many businesses within our county is that they will not be defined by Brexit, acknowledging the challenges, but there certainly are opportunities there too.
Meanwhile, the Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs has refused to be drawn on the latest of Brexit developments in the UK. British Prime Minister Theresa May has yet suffered another defeat in the House of Commons. An amendment's been passed that means Theresa May will have to come back to MPs within 3 days if her withdrawal plan is defeated next week. Taoiseach Simon Coveney says he's not going to predict what British MPs will do.
I think from an Irish perspective, we need to respect the process that's underway, which can hopefully ratify a sensible deal in Westminster. And I don't think we should get involved in sort of detailed commentary and predictions as to what might happen two or three steps down the line.
And the Sinn Féin leader has met with the European Union chief Brexit negotiator Michel Barnier in Brussels this afternoon. Marilyn MacDonald says there's no good Brexit for Ireland, however they are seeking a number of assurances.
We're conscious that Mrs. May and the British government looking for assurances and for comfort and for clarification. And we needed, in turn, an assurance that none of those asks by the British system would mean an undermining or a lack of legal certainty in terms of protection for Ireland.
Serious concern has been raised over what's been described as an alarming low level of high-speed driver training for Gardaí in Donegal. New data provided by Garda Síochána has revealed that despite having to engage in blue light responses over longer distances on average, Donegal Gardaí received the second least amount of training. Last year, the policing authority too expressed its dissatisfaction on the issue. Donegal GRA spokesperson Brendan O'Connor says Donegal is a county where road traffic enforcement needs to be a priority, and to have Gardaí not fully trained to carry out these basic duties is totally unacceptable.
The inspectorate issued a report there just before Christmas, and they focused on seven divisions, and when you see the statistics laid out there, it shows just how far behind even the national average with the national problem, but Donegal is even worse than most. We have just about 25% of those driving official vehicles are actually qualified to turn on the blue lights in Donegal, which is just very poor when you see that actually almost 60% of the members driving vehicles aren't properly trained, so we just think that's an unacceptably low level. When you take Kerry, which probably would have similar demographics, similar sort of geography, and over 75% of the drivers in Kerry are trained, and only 15% are driving without proper qualification. So, of course, Donegal is lagging behind. I mean, I said it again in relation to so many issues regarding Garda training and resources, but here we have again, it laid bare statistics that can't be disputed from the Garda inspector that we're way behind again in another field.
And last year, the policing authority too expressed its dissatisfaction at the issue. So this isn't the first time this issue has been raised.
No, this is a national issue, and it's another example of decades of neglect, of an attitude of, I suppose, ambivalence to training from successive regimes in an Garda Síochána. And I think in this day and age where the people, our members, are under increased scrutiny and accountability for their actions, I think it's very important that the management are on their side of agreements and in delivering the service, and they just provide the training. In this day and age, you have to have people trained to perform any role, whether that's the public or the private sector, and it's just not acceptable the low level of training that is across in Garda Síochána, but particularly this crucial function of driving, which is very important.
There's been a cautious welcome over the Housing Minister's impending visit to Donegal this week. Minister O'Murphy is in the county on Friday to carry out a number of key engagements, including turning the sod at the long-awaited social housing scheme at the Long Lane area of Letterkenny. The scheme will deliver 29 social houses for the town and will be made up of 2- and 3-bedroom homes. Councillor Jerry McMonagall says while the Housing Minister's visit to Donegal is welcome, real progress must be made on the Letterkenny project.
Well, it's welcome that he's coming here, and there's going to be a number of significant announcements. We've had in the Long Lane area, as you're aware, a housing scheme now that's been on the go for three and a half years. And while we've heard that the minister's coming to cut the sod, I very much welcome that. But I hope that means that the diggers are going into the field very shortly afterwards so that the building of these houses can commence.
You're also warning against the fact that maybe this could be a publicity stunt. Anybody can turn a sod, I suppose, but what you're looking for is real progress here.
That's my concern, is that the minister's coming up. We have Litcher Bug in the Cree Smith area, which is coming on stream, which is very much welcome. There's 16 houses being allocated to much needed families in around the county and the town here. And now we have this scheme in the Long Lane, which, as I said, it's been going on now for 3.5 years with false start dates, spring, summer, third quarter, and now we're in now the sod turning. So we've had sod turnings before in the town here in relation to the Joe Bonner Road and all. That hasn't even 2 years on. We still haven't got the Joe Bonner Road.
Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher says the Foreign Affairs Minister should stick to what he knows best rather than criticising others for representing their constituents. Deputy Gallagher has hit out at Minister Simon Coveney after comments he made in a recent interview during which he said TD's offices should not be set up as passport delivery systems. Deputy Gallagher says the sheer volume of applicants is further proof that a passport office should be established in the Northwest. He says the Minister would be better suited to focusing his work elsewhere.
I was very disappointed when I read the article that it was criticising not just me, but all public representatives who assist in procuring passports for individuals. And let me make it very clear, it's not jumping any queue. It's in the event of an emergency we do this. And that's the figure he has in relation to me. when I write to his office, I'm not the problem. I did 1,300 through my office last year, both over the counter, where there's an additional €15. So that was almost 15,000 into the revenue. And I, from my Dunlow office, do online when individuals come in. But for him to suggest that all should do it online, he's assuming that every part of Donegal has a Wi-Fi connection. And we know only too well that's not the situation. People have to travel to Dublin. And on this very day, I'm making urgent representations to assist those whose passports are in much longer than the prescribed time.
And that figure of 1,300, which you assisted in progressing their passports, shows that there is an issue with the passport application system in place.
I think it proves that there should be a passport office in the Northwest. Why should people from the Northwest have to travel to Dublin when we can do it for them? And of those 1,300, I'm getting no preferential treatment. I would suggest to the minister who's responsibility for foreign affairs that he should concentrate his energies on resolving the Brexit issue and to make representations on behalf of those in the border counties who will suffer, on behalf of the agriculture and the fishing sectors.
Deputy Conor Tobin, who is in the process of founding a new political party, says he aims to win council seats in Donegal. Last night, 200 people attended a meeting in Letterkenny hosted by Deputy Tobin, who told the gathering he would like to see five commune established in Donegal within 2 months. Deputy Tobin, who recently left Sinn Féin because of his opposition to abortion, told the meeting that giving disenfranchised people a voice will be a key aim of the new party.
I've no doubt at all that we will have candidates running in Donegal, such as the hunger to stay at the grassroots for change, such as the anger with the political establishment. The Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Sinn Féin and Labour are all basically coexisting on the same political space now. There is a need for another voice, and we will make sure that we have decent candidates. One of the major issues that people say to me at these meetings is they have no voice in Leinster House. They have no voice in the council. The anger that you see, yes, it's there for the issue of the right to life and that human right, but it's also there on the issues of housing, healthcare, education, and people being able to work and actually pay their way in this country.
Sport on Highland, in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Gear up for 2019 with a massive winter sale in store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's now 5:15 and time for the latest sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with Gaelic Games. The Dr. McKenna Cup semi-final lineup is due to be decided tonight. Holders Donegal welcome Cavan to Ballybuffet, where the winners will be guaranteed a place in the last four. If Donegal won, they will meet the winner of Armagh or Monaghan, who meet at the Athletic Grounds to decide top spot in that section. But if Donegal lose, Declan Bonner's side will need Armagh to win to progress as the best runners up. Tyrone are virtually assured of top spot in Section C. They know a draw against Fermanagh will be enough to secure their place in the semi. Also tonight in that group, Derry play University Ulster at Oneveig. Even if Derry won by a huge score, they will still be somewhat off the pace to make the last four as a best runner-up. All the games tonight throw in at 8 o'clock, and we will have live updates and match coverage from Donegal against Cavan at McCool Park in Ballybuffet. I'll be joined by Martin McHugh in the commentary position, and we'll have updates as from 8 o'clock tonight. Well, the Leinster Council have confirmed that this weekend's O'Byrne Cup and Walsh Cup semi-finals could be decided by penalty shootouts. Should the games finish level, then they will go straight to penalties, where only goals will count. Mayo needed penalties to see off Leitrim in the FBD League last weekend. As for those McKenna Cup semi-finals, which are due to take place on Sunday, indications from the Ulster Council are that they will be using extra time and not penalties. Abbey Vocational School won the Donegal Senior Schools title this afternoon, beating Loretta Milford 4-7 to 2-10. The winning goal at the O'Donnell Park was scored by Kian Higgerty in the closing seconds to seal the title. Michael Layden is manager of the Donegal Town based side.
Great performance. We didn't get off to a good start. We knew we were up against it, a very strong Milford team. They have done great work in the school over the last few years. They're under 16s, county champions as well. So we knew we were in for a tough fight today. Two of our regular 15 are out sick at the moment, which we knew we had to make up for their absence as well. Milford started very strong, and we knew we were kind of facing an uphill battle, but the goal that we got then in the midway through the first half kind of brought us
Michael
back.
Michael Statham,
and you're like, only for it, I'd say Middlesbrough could have been out of sight by half time. They hit a number of wides, which if they had their shooting boots on, they would have put us away in the first half. We regrouped at half time and we had a chat with the lads. They knew that they hadn't played as well as they could, and we changed things around a little bit in the second half, and the boys that we brought on, those that started, they ran themselves into the ground. They couldn't give any more, and we couldn't ask for anything more of them. But the lads that came in, they stepped it up, and when we got the one or two breaks that we needed in the second half, we were able to take our chances.
And you hear more from Michael in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. And you can also hear from Donegal's own Ban Gallagher, who was speaking at today's launch of the Sigerson and Fitzgibbon Cups. Own Ban Gallagher says he's looking forward to the University of Ulster's Sigerson football campaign, which gets underway next week as the Jordanstown outfit are away to IT Tralee in the first round.
Yeah, it's good now because I get to play with a lot of the boys that have played against, growing up. I'm actually living with Terence O'Brien, Gareth McKinless from Derry, and Paddy Dorkin from Mayo, and then Michael McKernan from Tyrone. So, there's a bit of crack that goes on in the house there, getting on to each other about where your county team's at or that there sort of thing, So it's good to be able to lock horns with them type of players and see what they can bring and try and push now for Jordanstown to hopefully win the Sigerson for the first time in a long time.
In soccer, Nigel Clough is aiming to mastermind a League Cup giant killing performance of one of his own former sides tonight. He's League One Burton Albion goes to the Etihad to face the holders and reigning Premier League champions Manchester City in the first leg of their semi-final. Kickoff in Manchester is 7:45. Tottenham Hotspur have confirmed they won't move into their new stadium until the start of March at the earliest. It's because of further safety concerns and the need to stage a number of test events. Championship side Stoke City have appointed Luton Town boss Nathan Jones as the new manager. They've agreed a compensation package with the League One side after they sacked Gary Rowett. Former Republic of Ireland international Rory Delap, a man with strong family connections in Letterkenny, was one of three coaches who had taken over first team affairs on a temporary basis. In horse racing, Martin Harley was back in the winner's enclosure this afternoon at Lingfield. The Donegal jockey won the 120 race on board 11-1 Shot Moreno for trainer Ray Guest. That's Harley's fourth win of the year. While in rugby, Alton Delan is the latest senior player to commit their future to Connacht. The Ireland international second row has signed a contract extension, keeping him at the sports grounds until the summer of 2021. We'll have our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news. In the meantime, don't forget live updates and coverage later on tonight from Donegal against Cavan. We'll be live as from 8 o'clock. Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, two Donegal men have been refused bail and will appear before court in Sydney in March, charged with murder. The pair had previously been charged with grievous bodily harm after a 66-year-old man was found injured at the side of a road in Sydney in December. The charges were upgraded after the victim died as a result of injury sustained during the alleged attack on Monday. 24-year-old Christopher McLaughlin from Mallin and 21-year-old Nathan Kelly from Glengad, who have both been remanded in custody, appeared via video link at Burnwood local court in Sydney. Crime reporter with the Daily Telegraph in Australia, Nick Hansen, spoke on today's 9 till noon show. He says the case is at a very early stage, but it could take years before it actually goes to trial.
Murder can take years for someone to actually go to trial on a murder case. Within that time, infinite different legal scenarios can unfold, as you appreciate. People, charges change, they get dropped, some accused make pleas, others don't. So, it can be years before these things are resolved.
And finally in news, the Mother and Baby Homes Commission of Investigation is seeking a one-year extension before publishing its final report. Among homes being examined are the Castle in Newton Cunningham and Stranorlar County Home. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The Mother and Baby Homes Commission of Investigation was established in 2015 following revelations about the deaths of almost 800 children at the Mother and Baby Home in Tuam in Galway. The commission was tasked with investigating and reporting on the burial arrangements for children and mothers who died died while resident in the institutions within their remit. Forming part of the investigation is the examination of the living conditions and care arrangements experienced by residents during their period of accommodation. Mortality amongst mothers and children will also be looked at. Among the 14 mother and baby homes across the country included in the review are the Castle in Newton Cunningham and the County Home in Stranorlar. According to the Irish Times, the Commission has sought a one-year extension from government before publishing its final report. It was originally to have been published in February 2018.
Weather night tonight will be cloudy and misty with patchy light rain or drizzle and fog in places. Lowest temperatures of 6 to 9 degrees. Winds will be light, mainly westerly. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the INMO's Industrial Relations Officer for the North West says nurses and midwives do not want to engage in industrial action but feel they have been left with no other option. Meanwhile, this morning there were 46 people awaiting inpatient beds at Letterkenny University Hospital, making it the second most overcrowded hospital in the country for the third consecutive day. Enterprise Ireland says Brexit is yet to impact Irish exporters, but it expects 2019 will be a challenging year for Irish companies. In Donegal, there was a 12% increase in jobs at Enterprise Ireland supported companies last year. Serious concern has been raised over what's been described as an alarmingly low level of high-speed driver training for Gardaí in Donegal. New data provided by An Garda Síochána has revealed that despite having to engage in blue light responses over longer distances on average, Donegal Gardaí received the second least amount of training. And there's been a cautious welcome over the Housing Minister's impending visit to Donegal this week. Minister O'Murphy is in the county on Friday to carry out a number of key engagements, including turning the sod at the long-awaited social housing scheme at the Long Lane area of Letterkenny. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 9th of January. The death has occurred of Brian McGuigan, 29, Mulvey House, Strabane. Brian's remains will repose at his son Ronan's home at 64 St Jude's Court, Lifford, from 7 o'clock this evening. Requiem Mass on Friday morning at 10 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Melmount, followed by interment in the adjoining churchyard. Family time, please, from 11pm to 11am and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Dennis Harley, Ards Creasla, formerly of Glen, County Derry. His remains are reposing at his home in Ards. Funeral Mass in St Michael's Church, Creasla, at 12 noon on Friday, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Family time only, please, today. Wake tomorrow from 10am to 11pm. Family only, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. The death has occurred of Charlie Harkin, Mill Road, Glenties, formerly of Stragar, Killybegs and Peckham, London. His remains will repose at his residence at Mill Road, Glenties, tomorrow from 10am to 11pm, with rosary at 10pm. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:30 to St Connell's Church, Glenties, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by burial in Killybeg Cemetery, arriving at approximately 1:45. Family time, please, from 11pm to 10am. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of James McGuinness and Sons Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Mary Farron, Faherna, Cooldaff. Removal from Collins Funeral Premises, Cooldaff, at 12 noon tomorrow, going to her home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock at Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Ahaclay, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11pm to 12 noon. The death has taken place of Mary Whirsky, Inchlevel, Spinog, Burt. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral on Friday morning at 10:15 to St Angus's Church, Burt, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in Burt Cemetery. Wake private, please, at the request of the deceased. Family and friends only. The death has taken place of Billy Doherty, Kilmacrennan. His remains will repose at his late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass in St Columbus Church, Kilmacrennan, at 11 o'clock on Friday morning, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family Flowers only pleased donations in lieu of desired to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Charlie McLaverty Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Mary Duffy, 473, the Cottages, Killay. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Killay, with interment afterwards in Newton Cunningham Cemetery. Family Flowers only pleased donations in lieu of desired to the Intensive Care Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Con MacDade and Sons Funeral Directors or any family member. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow morning. And the death has taken place of Sean Buchanan, 11, Hazelwood Drive, Lifford, formerly of Tamnawood, Ballandrate. His remains are reposing at his parents' home at Tamnawood, Ballandrate. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 20 past 10 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlock, Lifford, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Pieta House, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m.